For somebody that's wrong in their heart, there are barriers to those blessings that we are praying for. And that's why I have went to pray, and then God would check me and said, give place to the Holy Spirit. I couldn't pray what I wanted to pray, what I knew the need was, because there's something deeper than I can see with my eye. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's the best information that we can get. God looks deeper than that. He looks directly into the heart. He's not just judging us because of our activities, but because of our attitudes. He puts both of those together when he says, well, let me put it this way before we pray. When you stand praying, okay, we're getting ready to intercede. We're getting ready to make our petitions before the Lord. When you stand praying, God said you will either qualify or you will disqualify. And it's going to happen when you begin to pray. Christ said that. When you stand praying, if you've got aught against anybody, forgive before you mention another word. Because if you don't forgive men their trespasses, the Father will not forgive you yours. And we can't come to a throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy unless we're willing to be graceful enough and merciful enough to forgive other people that have wronged us. If there's a barrier like that, no other person can override that or overrule that to get the blessing to come. No one can intercede effectively for anybody who is not willing to get down before God, get real honest with God, because the answer or not is not dependent on how fervently we pray or how much faith we use. It's whether or not God can legitimately do it without violating his own law and his own word. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind. No one can pray that whirlwind away. That's a result of the law of God. And I just want so badly to see. In fact, I want to see that more than anything in my life as a pastor. I want to see people that are bound set free. Amen. I want to see people that are discouraged encouraged. I want to see people that are blinded by the enemy. I want to see their eyes come open. I want to see them defeat him. Amen. But I realized early on that I can't pray and get it all done without that person's cooperation spiritually with the Lord. But I can pray the Lord open those eyes. I can pray God deal with those hearts. And that's how I'm praying tonight. Praise God. But we're going to see some wonderful victories. The devil's really got upset since we began interceding. I don't know if you've had any hard times, but I've had it really tough since we began to walk and talk and pray and seek the face of the Lord. I mean, you know, all heaven's getting ready to break loose. All hell has already broken loose. Amen. And we just need to hang in here a little while longer and see the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Because God is going to respond to our prayers. And we're going to see changes. And some of them are going to be kind of shocking. But nothing that is hid is going to stay hid when the light of God is shined upon it. I want my life to be in a position that when he shines that light on me, that I can pass the test, not of sinless perfection, but absolute sincerity in my heart. It is my intent to serve and obey my master. How about you? Can you say amen? Then we don't have to fear the light, do we? Praise God. Brother Taylor, let's just believe God tonight that he's going to lead us and bless us in this service.
Give the Lord some praise before. Come on, just give God some praise. He's so worthy of our praise, isn't he? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight as we come to thee tonight before your throne, Lord, for you're holy and you're pure, and God, you're just, you're righteous. God, forgive us for our sins, errors, transgressions, and wrongdoers, masters. Restore us unto thee, Lord God. God, just have your way in our lives, God. Move by thy spirit tonight. Have your way, Lord. Cleanse us through the washing of the water by the word, Lord. Let the divine will be done in our lives, God. We came to seek your face, Lord God. Shamanda ukiti, out of a pure heart, Lord. Help us to come before your throne, Lord God. Take it with holy hands in a pure heart, Lord. bikti kito rabasanda. Yeri euro robasito rabasaya. Yeri euro robasanda. Come on, hallelujah. God, move by thy spirit tonight, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Lido basu yarabaku yarebiki urobahaya. Oh, babahanda. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God. For you are faithful that promise, Lord God. Shebido lo busu yarabahanda. Hula la kula yarabahanda. Hula basanda. Let the divine will be done in this service tonight, God. We thank and praise you, Master. In Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Amen.
God, let's lift him up tonight. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is on the throne tonight. I can't help but believe. How many were here this morning? Amen. Did God speak to your heart like he spoke to my heart today? He encouraged me. He lifted me up. Hallelujah. He just kind of verified what I've been feeling down in my soul. Praise the Lord. And verified it through his word and by his spirit. And that is where you get the truth from. Can you say amen? Let's lift him up. He loves you tonight. He loves me tonight. He loves everyone that we're interceding and praying for tonight. Hallelujah. Brought me to his banqueting table.
I'm my beloved, and he is mine. He's better, and he is love. I'm my beloved, and he is mine. He's better, and he is love. I'm my beloved, and he is mine. He's better, and he is love. He's better, and he is love. But he brought me.
Loving us, Lord. Oh, lift him up. Praise God. That's what I came to do tonight. How about you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift the name of Jesus high. Praise God. Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you for victory tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Oh,
right back there. We'll keep the doors shut to these rooms. It'll keep the cool air in here with us where it really needs to be. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many came to lift him up? How many came to see me? I'm not even looking to see. I know nobody did that, and I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. You would be terribly disappointed tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you came to lift him up and to praise his name and to receive his word and to pray to him and talk to him, hallelujah, and to set aside time this coming week to enter into your closet and shut to the door and talk to God, hallelujah, take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there, casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon him, because he cares for you and watches over you affectionately. 1 Peter 5:7, Amplified New Testament, taking all the meaning of those Greek words and adding them to the original text. I have anxieties, and they creep up on me. Sometimes I don't really recognize that they're getting such a hold on me, and suddenly I find myself worried sick. Can worry yourself sick. It can sap all your energy. It can interrupt your peace. It can take away your joy, and it can put you in a state of anxious, anticipatory anxiety. You know what that is? That means I know bad things are coming, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how all this is going to turn out. Well, I've got good news for you. You don't need to know, and I don't need to know all the details. All I need to know is that I've got a prayer-answering God who bends down and listens when I pray. David said, I love you, Lord, because you hear me when I pray. You hear me when I cry. You turn your ear always to me. And the actual Hebrew again in that psalm says he bends down and listens. I got a little granddaughter named Molly. We call her the Malster, not Monster. She's a sweet little girl, the Malster. And she's jibber-jabbering. Some things she says real good, like duck. She sees a chicken, it's a duck. She sees a bird, it's a duck. But it's not just a duck, it's a duck. And if she's got something to say, I have to bend down because she's smaller than a munchkin. She's a little person. And I have to bend way down to listen when she talks. And God is so open in his heart. Now, it's not that when David talked about that, he said, I know I have God's attention. I know I have his ear because I know I have his heart. I know he's going to listen when I pray. And that was David's great confidence in him. And he said, I love him because of the way he responds to me when I pray. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God could come on to slay a giant, but in his daily walk, he didn't have that paraclete, that comforter. So the indication of God's goodness and grace and love toward him was all in the way God answered when David prayed. And David said, the very day that I pray, my enemies turned back. Now, the physical enemies kept coming until they were defeated. But he knew in the heavenlies, before the change happened out here where you could see it. Amen. He knew where the real enemies and where the real battle was taking place. He said, the whole thing changes the day that I pray. Isn't that incredible? No wonder the enemy not only tries to keep us from praying, but tries to disqualify us from having that prayer answered. Amen? Because he can't stop God, and he knows it. And God is persistent when we pray. He won't back off of the thing that we're praying for if it's in his will and his purpose. And the devil knows he can't defeat God. He has only one other alternative, and that is to cast us down or to get us in a place where our actions or our attitudes disqualify us from God's answers. Can you say amen? And what we're going to be dealing with, not all tonight because we just can't get it all in tonight, but we're going to be dealing with those things, getting rid of those negative factors that can hinder. You know, a husband and wife, he said, live together, stay in harmony. You're heirs together of the grace of life. And if you don't stay in harmony, what's he say? That your prayers be not hindered. Can you say, man, God requires a unity among the people that he has made one. He requires it. He requires it not only in a marriage, partners, but in the body of Christ itself. If any two of you on earth shall agree, come into harmony. He requires that harmonious relationship of forgiveness and love. You know, there is a love that covers a multitude of sins. And that means faults that we all have. If I put you under a microscope, I can see them. In fact, I don't have to put you under a microscope. If you put me under a microscope, you can see mine. In fact, you don't have to put me under a microscope. Amen? But that's not what I'm looking for. There's a love. There's a love. There's a love. And what kind of love is it? It's the love of God. And it says, I know there's flaws and I know there's faults, but I know this person is a bona fide, genuine child of God. And if I feel that I'm strong today in my faith and strong in my walk with God, I'm going to pray and intercede for that person who's messing up, who's fouling up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust the Lord that God will deal with their heart, that God will move in their life. You that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen. That's how we make it. That's how we make it. Hallelujah. When we get rid of the things that keep prayer from being answered, God is going to show us mighty things that we have never seen. We're going to see the Lord move in such wonderful, powerful ways. His name is going to be exalted. He's going to be glorified. Jesus is going to be magnified. Hallelujah. And I am excited about what is happening right now, because all the shaking is because mighty change is coming. If change could have come without the shaking, there would be no shaking here. It would have just come. But if something had to be shaken first before the change could come that we're praying for, then that's why the shaking is taking place. And believe it, everything and everyone that can be shaken is going to be shaken, so that that which cannot be shaken might remain. And it's happening not just in our church and in our families and our lives. It's happening, amen, in the kingdom of God. There's a mighty shaking. And everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But there's something coming out of this great shaking. And that is a pure, powerful, pledged of heart church to Jesus Christ. We will bow to no other God. We will serve no other. Hallelujah. We will make no concessions to the enemy. We will give him no ground. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a bride emerging. Hallelujah. Out of all of this pressure and all of this change that's taking place, there's a bride coming forth. Praise the Lord. She's been washed with water by the Word. She submitted herself to the absolute authority of God's Word, and a cleansing is occurring among God's people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That she might be without spot and without blemish or any such thing, but that she might be holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be part of that process. It's not pleasant sometimes when all the things that you had confidence in shakes around you. Oh, but when it brings you to the Lord in a pure faith, something very positive and very powerful takes place. Can you say amen? I'm so glad to know him tonight. Praise the Lord. And to allow the shaking. I have been shaken. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you something. God is doing something in me. Thank God for the changes that are coming. Amen. I feel close to him tonight. I feel him close to me tonight. Hallelujah. It's worth the shaking. Hallelujah. In order for that to occur. So just hang on to the Lord. Amen. And realize that while you're hanging on to him, it's not your grip on him that's going to keep you through this time of great shaking. It's his mighty grip on you. Can you say amen? Let's sing one more song tonight. Let's love him before we go to the Word and then prayer for just a few moments. Yes, Lord. You prayed for revival. I led you to repentance. So restoration can come, saith the Lord. And everyone that bows before me with a fresh commitment and a devotion to serve me, will I bless and will I use in this last day, saith God. Yea, saith the Lord, you prayed, and I have heard, and I am answering, and I am shaking. But yea, saith the Lord, do not fear the fire. It's come to purge thee, not to hurt thee, to purify thee, and to make thee holy. Can you say amen to his word tonight? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know why he's working with you here tonight? Every branch, without exception, every branch that beareth fruit, everyone that has that wonderful potential in you tonight to be fruitful in God's kingdom, he pets you and applauds you. No, he purges it. Can you say amen? And you know what's happening right now? Spring is on the way. Amen. And you know what people are doing right now? They're going out and they're taking those dead limbs off of those plants and they're cutting them off because they have no potential. They can't bear any fruit. They're taking the good from the good limbs and that purging is taking place. Hallelujah. Every branch that beareth fruit, he said, I'm going to purge that it might even become more fruitful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know it's loving hands. Yeah. That are purging. If someone's got roses that have died back and they're getting ready to come forth and take that sun in and begin to blossom and bloom, that beautiful bloom, they're purging those bushes right now. But they're doing it with loving hands. And God is purging you and me with loving hands tonight. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I feel a time of fruit bearing. Amen. I believe we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in hearts and lives and families again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because we're being purged. Hallelujah. Amen. To be made pure so that God can fill us and God can flow through us. And God is going to answer prayer. And I'm excited about those answers tonight. Praise the Lord. My dad called me and I thought it was one of those kind of calls because there was a fear of going to the hospital this morning. I said, I'll be check on you right after church. Well, he made a preemptive call to me to tell me that God had answered prayer and the problem was solved and not to worry about him. I said, glory to God. That's an answer to prayer. That's a miracle. My dad rising up in faith and coming into faith agreement. He's been way down. And when somebody's way down, you're around them, they can drag you down after a while if you're not cautioned. But God is moving by his Spirit, and it just liberated me. Praise God. When he said, I'm going to go take me a nap. I said, good. If he sleepeth, he doeth well. Because he's been really troubled lately. And God is moving. Hallelujah. I want my dad to come play his fiddle. I want him to come and testify to what God has done for him. Hallelujah. I want him to use what time he has left in a good way and not in a way where the enemy has triumph all the time. Amen. I'm excited when God answers a prayer. I said, Lord, I give him to you. I lift him before you. I can't do these things in his life that only you can do, but there's nothing too hard for you. Can you say amen? God's peace came upon him. God's power touched him. Amen. And that led me off the hook. Praise God. Amen. God is so good. Amen. And I just want to encourage you tonight. We're almost done and we hadn't even hardly got started, but I want to encourage you tonight. There's a great shaking taking place. Everything that can be will be, so that which cannot be shaken might remain. I want to be part of that church that Christ is keeping even in this last day. Praise God. Let's sing one more song and then we're going to, hallelujah. Everybody that came here to lift him up again, let me see your hand. You came to lift him up tonight. Hallelujah. What a song to do it with. And it's the leading in to the other song tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Came to lift you up and to praise you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, how we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. matchless, majestic God.
Praise
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for singing tonight. Praise God. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn real quickly to a verse of Scripture. We're going to go to a song to just lift him up a little bit more before we go to prayer tonight. But I want you to turn to a Scripture that you need to see. I believe we need to see. I need to see. We all need to see in the context that it's written. I had a lot of experiences in almost 40 years of pastoral ministry. One of the things that I'm asked to do is to visit people, to pray for people, to go to hospitals and visit people in hospitals, to pray for whatever the need is in families and circumstances. Brother Venable, would you remember this in prayer? And tonight I want us to really pray for our sister Woozy, that the diverticulitis would be healed miraculously and gloriously. Let me bring you a testimony real quick. I was going to download it, but I can tell it quicker than we could actually play it anyway. But on the 700 Club not too long ago, there was a young man who was a Christian young man. He was a diesel mechanic. He worked on these great big diesel trucks, and he had one in. It was up on jacks, and he had the driver with him kind of helping him, and he had just got up under the truck on his back to work upon something underneath when the truck fell on him. And we're not talking about a car now falling. The axle of the truck fell on his abdomen. He said he looked under the truck as blood filled his throat. And he said under the truck he saw that it looked like about an inch or two between that axle. It had mashed him that much. What he didn't know was that it had severed through mashing and pinching arteries, these big arteries that run through your abdomen. There's a huge artery right down through here. And five arteries, not veins, five arteries were severed. And all he knew to do was what he knew to do, and that was to call upon the Lord. And he just cried out, "Lord, help me." See, when you're in that kind of a situation, or there's no time for some big, eloquent, articulated prayer, you just have to let your heart cry what the need, specific need is. He said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And he said he felt a pain because it had also crushed the vertebrae in his spine as well. It had mashed him enough through his stomach to crush the vertebrae in his spine. And he was laying there. He said he felt his spirit come out of his body. He hovered over, and he saw that truck driver comforting him while he called 911, and they were on their way. But he knew that he was dying, and he said a voice spoke to him about coming on home, and another still small voice spoke to him, said, if you want to stay, it's going to be a real battle, but you can win this battle, and you can stay. In other words, there's nothing impossible with God. Amen. And he said he decided, because he has a family and he's a very young man. And he said, when I looked down, I suddenly saw with the truck driver two angels. And they were said if they stood up, they'd had to be 8 foot tall because the truck driver was around 6 foot. And they on their knees by the truck driver that was cradling him, trying to comfort him, there was two angels hovering. And he said they didn't have wings, but they looked like bookends. They were facing each other, and they just had their hands under the truck. They were not lifting the truck from him. They were taking away all the pain from all of that pressure he was under. He said when he zipped back into his body, he felt absolutely no pain, and he felt a peace came over him of knowing that God was in charge and God was in control, and he was not going to die but live and give glory to God. And the reason this is such a verifiable miracle is because they did get the truck up off of him. They did pull him out. They got him to the hospital. Five arteries were severed. There is no case, and they've double, triple checked this to verify it. There is no case in the history of medical situations where anyone with five severed arteries has ever survived, because there's just too much blood loss. That they had surgery after surgery, and they had to take out just so much of his lower intestine, not his bowel, but his lower, his intestines, where the food has to, by osmosis, get into his body, that he went from 180 pounds down to 126 pounds very quickly. And they said he couldn't live, he couldn't survive. And but he began to thrive, and he began to gain weight. And they had to go and take a look again at those intestines. They know how much they removed, and there wasn't enough left for the food to go through that process. We're not talking about just a colostomy for the bowel. We're talking about intestines for digestion. But he went from 126 pounds back up to 170 pounds. So they decided, we need to see what's going on inside this man. And what they discovered was, they discovered 9 feet of intestine had been added. Amen. That's incredible stuff to me. 9 feet of intestine had been added. Where'd it come from? They don't know, but it's there. But it still isn't long enough for him to thrive and be healthy. But they found out that the 9 feet that was added was doing double duty digestively. See, that's that blessing of the Lord. He doesn't have to have it all scientifically arranged. God is God. Amen. And if he says you're going to live, you're going to live. It don't matter what they say or what science says or what the books say or what the circumstance says. What matters is what God says. And God says, I want you to live. You're going to live. And he sent angels to comfort him. Hallelujah. And then he took him the rest of the way through. Praise God. So I'm just excited about answered prayer. I don't want something to keep me from calling on the Lord. Amen. I don't want something to keep me from having a prayer answered. I want to be in a position to pray, and I don't want to begin with repentance. If you're in a fix like that, you don't have time to do all of that other stuff. You need an answer. We all need answers tonight. One of the things I learned very quickly is I couldn't pray everything off of everybody, because there are things that disqualify people from having prayers answered. How many's ever heard of James 5:14? How many's ever read James 5:15? So that 5:14 is put in context. Most of us can quote James 5:14, but we don't know much about James 5:15. Listen to James 5:14. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Amen. Let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, we're into verse 15. We know part of it. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. End of story. No, we're not done with verse 15 yet. We're talking about prayer and getting answers. Somebody else praying for somebody with a great need. We're not done. We're not done. And if they have committed any sin, Christians, under the new covenant, is sin an issue in getting the answer? Does God want to eliminate that so the answer can come? He said, while you're praying, I want to deal with that. Don't take it home with you. Don't hide it in your heart. If it's there. Oh, friend, if we say we have no sin, we're liars and we're not honest and truthful. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity and all unrighteousness. And if we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, that leaves us in a right wise state before the Lord. And the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Can you say amen? Why don't we deal with that issue? God says it's not going to happen without dealing with it. And you got to deal with it when you're praying. I went to the hospital to pray for a young lady because people would call me. I don't just pray for the people in the congregation, but friends and family members, and I'm glad to do it for your brother. Hallelujah. He's a sweetheart. I love to pray for him because God's sustaining him. I've seen him in some pickles, and he's still here for some purpose. Hallelujah, because God has just said, I'm still in charge. Sometimes I think people linger so God can say, I'm in charge. Amen. Not what the doctor said, but what I say is going to determine this. Amen. But I went to pray for a young lady in the hospital. I'll never forget going to the hospital downtown Tampa to pray for a young woman who had some ailment that the doctors could not diagnose. She was in not an unconscious, but with eyes shut, would take no food, was having to be fed intravenously, and there was the possibility looming of putting one of those tubes where they feed food, because you can't live on IVs, putting something directly into her stomach. And the doctors didn't know what was wrong. And I was asked by a member of the church that knew her mama and knew her, and they had come to church, and they had got in church. And the reason I'm telling this particular story, I went to pray for somebody on my walk and talk, and guess what came up? I would have never, ever thought about it. But the occult. And I don't know what or how or when. I don't know how deep in the closet this thing was, but when somebody tries to blend the Ouija board, the astrology, you know what the Bible said? Stand now with thy stargazers and thy monthly prognosticators. In other words, you can't pray to me while you're trusting in them. Amen. Stand now with thy stargazers and thy... There's a lot of people think that just because you're in a spirit realm, you can blend some of this with some of that. God said, no, this don't blend. This is oil and water. It won't blend. It won't blend. It won't blend. Well, this is just so we can help people. No, it's not. The devil is playing this white magic stuff to make it something that people will get involved with. There is only one kind of magic. Can you say, man, if it's genuinely spiritually rooted, there's only one kind. It's coming from the dark side. We're supposed to stay away from the dark side. That's not Star Wars. That's the New Testament and the Old Testament. And there was a severe warning against getting involved in all of that stuff and trying to depend on the Holy Spirit as well. So I remember going to pray for this young woman, and one of the things she did was that she would remove her clothes and throw the covers off of herself. Did it with her eyes shut. Unresponsive. When I went, she was uncovered. I had to go get a nurse to go cover her up. They can't watch you all the time. And I asked the nurse, I said, what did the doctor say? I'm a pastor. I've been asked to come and visit this young woman. What have they decided is her problem? And she said, well, I'm not really authorized to give out personal medical information to anyone but a family member, but this is not information. When I'm telling you, they don't know. They don't know what's wrong with this young woman. The blood test, everything's normal. What's wrong with her? So I went in to pray for her, and I just went in and I said, I don't care what's wrong with her. God's God. He's Almighty God. He's a prayer-answering God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a good God. He's a right now, on time God. May not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. And I thought, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. But let me tell you something about the prayer of faith. Any intercession for anything. God said, if there's a sin problem, can't override that. Lay hands on the sick, and if that person has an unconfessed sin, if they're ready to do business with God, if they're serious about getting an answer, there has to be repentance while the prayer is being offered. That's not what I was taught all my life about James 5:14. You just grab the oil and pray the prayer of faith. The Bible said no. If there's a sin problem, it has to be addressed. Is that what your Bible said? How many believe God is going to back up his word? He watches over all of it to perform it, that part too. If sin is in the way, for heaven's sakes, let's get it out of the way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because God challenges us in Jeremiah 33:3, and call upon me. It's in the context of the restoration of Israel. He said, you've been punished because of your sin. Now you've repented of your sin, and now your captors are going to have to let you go. You're coming back, and I'm going to restore you. Can you say amen? And one of the signs of restoration is that I am available to you when you have a need. Call upon me when this restoration begins, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. You're going to see things that you've never seen in answer to prayer when you're back right with your God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And Jesus just reiterates that in the New Testament. It says to the Christian community, ask and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. For every one of you that asks receives, and every one of you that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it will be opened unto you. I love the way God talks. He don't mince words. Can you say amen? That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this word. But Brother Taylor, people are not into repentance. We want to bypass issues of the heart and go directly to the answers to prayer. God says you can't do that. You've got to deal. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? Because if you do, Satan has the high ground. He has the advantage because he knows until we deal with that, we can't get a prayer answered according to the Word of God itself. He knows that. He knows he can't stop God. So he works overtime on you and me. Can you say amen? And what we want to do is get in a place before the Lord that we can eliminate that negative factor. It's sin. Can you say amen? There are things that God says is a sin. An ungrateful heart is a sin. To put things above him is a sin. Amen. There are people that don't give to God or his work, but they got the newest tablet. They got the newest technology. God's work can suffer. You know what he told ancient Israel when they were praying and not getting answers? He said, you're wondering why I'm not answering your prayers. Don't we all? If you're serious about finding out why, God's very serious about eliminating any barriers between you and him, because he wants to bless us. You know why? Because he loves us. And you know why else? Because he would love his name to be exalted through our lives. Can you say amen? I want to represent a mighty God. I want to represent a faithful God. I want to represent a God that comes through when you call upon him. I want to represent victory in Jesus Christ, not be a victim. Hallelujah. I don't want to come here and tell you tales of woe. I want to come here and tell you how mighty, how wonderful, how powerful my God is. I'm glad that guy, amen, decided to come back and fight the good fight of faith, because his test became a testimony. If God has to send angels to take away the pain, if he has to add intestines, if he has to cause what he added to do double duty, he's a prayer-answering God. And it don't take a big, long prayer. Lord, help me is all it took for the help to come. Can you say amen? If you're in the right position, you don't have to pray all day and fast all week. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open. Hallelujah. And we know if he hears us, we know we have the petition that we've desired of him. Can you say amen? In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 58, they were fasting. Fasting was always coupled with seeking God to meet a need. Therefore, prayer is always involved in fasting. He said, you will not fast as you do this day to make your prayers and your name heard on high. Can you say amen? How is it, they said, that we pray and you don't see the need? We pray and you don't answer. God says, I'm glad that you ask. You're not going to keep doing it like you're doing it and have this occur. But if you're willing to change, when you give heed to God's word, you don't just listen to it, you start making necessary adjustments. God allows for U-turns. Say it with me. God allows for U-turns. There's two things we need tonight as Christians. We need the ability to hear. We need a heart that's willing to listen. And we need a willingness to change. Can you say amen? Honey, let me give you a little newsflash. Quit blaming God, because they all blamed him. The devil loves it when we accuse God of unfaithfulness instead of checking out our own heart and our own life. If Brother Venable loses victory, it'll never be God's fault. And it won't even be the devil's fault. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Submit yourself, therefore, unto God, and the devil will flee from you. You cannot be defeated by a devil who's running from you. Whoa! Brother Taylor, I'm passionate about repentance. Because I know what repentance does. If they've committed any sin and they're willing to deal with it then and there, God said nothing will stop that prayer from being answered. Woo! Hallelujah. Is any afflicted? Is any cast down, discouraged? Let him what? Let him pray. Because if he can't pray, there's something wrong between him and God. And that's why he's in the depression. That's why he's in under the oppression. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Can you say amen? What has happened to the prayer life of the believer? What has happened to the victory that is promised? What has come between that person and God? James 5:13, is any afflicted? I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about that oppression of the enemy. The enemy taking ground. Let him pray. It's all about prayer, isn't it? It's all about qualifying for God's answers. It's all about whether God can legitimately come through. And every time Israel got wrong with God, worshiped idols, made compromises, they would pray and fast, and no answer would come. And then they started talking accusingly to God. We've all probably done it. It needs to stop. Can you say that? Wave at me if you know it needs to stop. It's got to stop. If you're not willing to hear His word and make some changes, nothing's going to change until we do. The change is on our part. My God is faithful. I don't even agree with me when I think otherwise. So I'm sure not going to agree with you. Can you say amen? You need to quit agreeing with yourself. Amen. Because the flesh will make every excuse in the world besides repentance. Repentance will bring restoration. And the first sign of restoration is not just you can get your praise on and get your liver shiver going. First sign of repentance and God returning to us is God begins to, he said, when you get back home and you start keeping my law again and quit worshiping false gods and I bring you back, amen, he said, call upon me. Hallelujah. It's going to be different this time. Call upon me. There's a change been made. Repentance has taken place. Now call upon me, Israel. All of you, amen, covenant children of the Most High God, call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You're going to see me come through like you've never seen me come through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But come home and come back to me, and I will return to you, and then your prayers are going to be answered. Your needs are going to be met. Your enemies are going to fall back. My name is going to be exalted and glorified, and it don't get no better than that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Wow! Call upon me. Call upon me. Couldn't be that sin is the problem. You can slip and say a four-letter word in church. Congregation will just write it off. But when you say the three-letter word, it's what'll get you in trouble. S-I-N. Whatsoever's not of faith, what is it? Sin. What do we need to do about sin? The Bible said if it's there, and you need help and prayers being offered, deal with it so God can answer the prayer. Because he wants to help you, and he wants his name to be magnified and glorified. And the devil wants us to keep the sin and accuse God. Wave at me if you know the devil operates that way. Do you know his devices? It's time we wised up, oh men and women of God. Amen. It's not me. It's not on my end. It's nothing that I need to do. And then we call intercessors to pray for us. There's an indication on TV if you call the prayer line, you're going to get the help you need. And they're going to pray. But if there's a sin issue, it isn't going to work according to this Bible. Everybody got a Bible? Do you believe that book? Do you believe that when you stand praying, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven? And you have no basis to approach God? He's serious about it. That's what your Bible said. I don't answer your prayers, and I don't not answer your prayer. It's up to God. So I went in to pray for this young woman, and it was the first time in my young pastorate, several years into pastoring, I was used to praying and seeing God. But we saw a baby turn over in the womb one morning. We saw it in the spirit simultaneously, Pamela and I. And we don't see these things all the time. Amen. But we saw it that morning. We prayed for a young woman that had a baby turn the wrong way. Amen. And we prayed. And as we were praying, Pamela said, I saw that baby turn around. I saw it too. But I didn't see it like Superman with X-ray vision. I couldn't look into the womb, but I saw it in the spirit. And that's better than X-ray vision. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I saw it in the spirit. Praise God. When that baby turned around, we saw it turn around. She went back to the doctor and said, we don't have to have a breach. You were in a breach situation. You're not in it anymore. That baby's just right for a natural birth, just like every baby's born. We're not going to have a C-section for you. That baby is in no jeopardy. They were concerned about the umbilical cord being wrapped around the baby's neck because it was inverted in the womb. That baby turned around, the pressure came loose, and she went to full term, had a beautiful baby. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to see. I don't want sin in me or sin in that person to keep that from occurring. I want to see God glorified, God's people with victory. How about you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We saw it. Praise God. When we're praying for someone, James said, it's not just faith and the Lord's desire to help and God's power. It's the person's heart. And if they've committed any what? It's okay to say it. I sound like a curse word in church, but if they've committed any what? It'll be what? What does God want to do if we'll be open about that? It'll be forgiven them. He said, I'm willing to deal with that so the prayer can be answered. I'm willing to forgive it here and now. If we say we don't have it, now that don't mean every time you come for prayer, you got to stop and say, Lord, hey, if it's there, you know it's there. Yeah, you can't have it and not know it's there. You can have it and deny its presence, but you know deep on the inside, everybody in here knows what needs to be removed. And we don't need no root canal either. Can you say, man, don't go to a church that gives you a root canal to where we never talk about it so we don't deal with it. Problem is you can't get a prayer answer with all the faith teaching and all the tapes on faith and all the mighty anointed. But this is not about how anointed somebody is. This is about qualifying. And I want to see God's people with victory. How about you? You're God's sheep. Amen. A shepherd is judged by the condition of his sheep. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to teach something, amen, that's going to cause us, amen, to be a such a wonderful testimony to the faithfulness of our Shepherd King. Is that all right with you? I want your life and my life to reflect, amen, the blessings of a wonderful, faithful Shepherd King. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But we got to deal with sin if we're going to do that. Because if we try to circumvent that, that we're praying in faith. There's more than the prayer of faith going on. If they have committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. How is sin forgiven? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. What a bargain. What a privilege. That's why he told the church in the book of Revelation chapter 3 of Laodicea, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? So you'll repent. Why? So I can come through. Amen. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So I can answer your prayers. So I can help you. So that my name can be glorified when I do. So that you can have a life and testimony that glorifies God. Teach on compromise. People want to run for cover. Teach on making concessions to the devil. People want to run for cover. Why don't we run to God and get right? Amen. How many have needs? How many need your prayer answered? Then somebody ought to tell us the whole story. Otherwise, the devil will have us doing what? Accusing God. That's what Israel did. It's easier than repentance. Amen. It's the easy way out. I don't know why God doesn't answer. Well, God says, if you really want to know why, you know why so many people are sick and dying before their time? With the covenant of healing in the early church. Because they came to communion service. And they treated the holy things. It's not just communion, by the way. Something holy is happening right now. And our attitude toward it is being gauged by God Himself. You're in a holy place right now. This is the Holy Bible. The Spirit that's here is the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And when they treated it with irreverence, the Bible said, for this cause... There's always an answer for this cause. Many of you are sick, can't get healed, and many of you are dying before your time. That's in your New Testament. That's not Old Covenant. That's the New Covenant. Sin is still an issue in the New Covenant. You're not saved because of works, but you can't live a life of rebellion and have God bless you. So I went to pray for this young woman, and I went to lay hands and pray that prayer of faith so the Lord could get turned loose and raise her up. God be glorified. This teenage girl be raised up. And the Spirit of God came on me and He said, don't pray for her. I can't. I can't heal her. And I thought, God, you can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. No, He can do anything. But He won't violate His word because of someone else's prayer. So I went and got on the phone. I said, to the person who asked me to go, I said, what's the story here? They don't know what's wrong with this young woman. She's in a trance-like state. They can't help her. She won't come out of it. I went to pray, and the Holy Ghost put me in check. She said, oh, well, said they were really going to church at some church, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they started, a friend of the mother's invited them to one of these seance things, and they went over and they got involved in seances. I said, well, now I understand. You can't have it both ways. You can't invite the devil in and then have the Holy Spirit counteract him when we rolled out the red carpet. I said, I can't pray for anything but repentance. But I can pray that Mama will repent, and then she'll be able to intercede for her daughter. She led her daughter into sin. And God wanted to forgive the sin so He could raise the daughter up and restore this woman. He didn't want them destroyed by the devil, but somebody hadn't told them the whole truth, or else they had overridden that truth. Can you say amen? And I went to pray for somebody, and the occult came up. And I said, Lord, I don't even want to think this. I don't want to think this. So I couldn't even pray in English, Brother Taylor. But when God checks me, because it's my intention to get everybody set free, it's my intention to get everybody delivered, but I want everybody to make sure. Listen, right beside the funny paper, you know what used to be there? Sidney Omar was going to tell you, and they would ask me, when's your birthday at work? I said, don't matter. I've been born again. Can you say amen? So now it don't matter. Are you an Aquarius? Are you a this? Are you that? And I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again child of the living God. Amen. Doesn't matter what the stars have to say. Amen. The stargazers don't have my future. Don't read that junk. Come on, you're inviting. Stand now with your stargazers. You can't have God direct you and look to the stars and the stargazers. Israel wanted both ways, and God said you can't have it both ways. You got me or them. But since you're choosing them, I'm moving out. Let them deliver you. Don't even ask me for help. If they're your source, let them deliver you in the day of trouble. But if I'm your source, I love Joshua. Joshua drew the line in the sand, and the Holy Ghost is doing it again to the church of the living God. If Baal is God, serve him. But if the Lord is God, serve him. But choose you this day who you're going to serve. But whatever choice you make, let me make a statement here. As for me, as for my house, we're going to serve the Lord and him alone. Can you say amen? Oh, give God a hand clap. I need my prayers answered. Hallelujah. Whew. Can't have it both ways. Can't have it both ways. Can't have it both ways. So when this occult flag went up, see, what people do in secret and what they do publicly is two different things. There's nothing hid from the eyes of him of whom we have to do. God knows not only, he knows the thoughts and intents of my heart and yours. And the devil wants you to accuse God. Amen? How in the world are you ever going to get help from above if you're accusing that God of unfaithfulness while we never have a holy introspect? Can you say, man, have you ever examined your own heart? Have you ever gotten an altar in repentance that lasted? You know, Israel went through the motions of repentance, and you know what God said? He said, it's like the morning dew. Your repentance is like the morning dew. For the moment, it looks real. But when we walk out the door, we fall back into the old patterns. You got to break those old patterns. Repentance means going in the other direction, not continuing down the same road. It's not about just the alligator tears, and there ought to be tears, but tears need to bring change, because it's change that causes God to verify our repentance. You got to be willing to listen, and you got to be willing to change. Can you say amen? You know, my dad the other day, and I'm going to tell this because he is open about it. I'm so glad he's beginning to repent, because he would push me. You're a preacher. You're not just my son. You're my brother and my pastor. He would say, I don't know why God doesn't do this. I don't know why God doesn't do that. Now we've got God up here under our scrutiny. Can you say, man? I said, hold on. I can't go there. I will not go there. I will not join you in accusing God. Amen. I understand genuine questions, but we just can't accuse God. Can you say amen? We've got to get down on the inside. I said, Dad, let's talk about this. Amen. What about your heart, your life? Is there anything? Oh, yeah. I said, okay, let's go there. I can go there with you. We can look around together, not to condemn, amen, but to get rid of anything that keeps you from experiencing his peace, to get rid of anything that keeps you from experiences his power in your life and his presence that you so desperately need. We got down before God and got into some repentance. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I am a proponent of repentance. I couldn't pray for that young woman, but I could pray that her mama would repent, and her mama did repent. She got down before God. She got rid of those occult materials. She said, I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. And suddenly the young lady was herself again, and her mama said, I led you the wrong way. Will you forgive me? I'm so sorry. We gave place to the devil, and we're never going to do this again. Hallelujah. Then I didn't even have to go and lay hands on her. God just raised her up when repentance occurred. When's the last time you saw a prayer line and the preacher calling for repentance from everybody in? When's the last time you were in one and it didn't work? An evangelist with a gift of healing that marked his ministry. Went to pray for a lady with crippling arthritis. Some things come with age. So if you see me with a back patch someday, don't say, well, wonder what he did. Well, I'm going to tell you what I did. I got old. Some things come with age. And if you're not 65 or older, you don't know where I'm coming from. But you will. One of these days, you'll know what that's all about. This wasn't a result of old age. This woman was in her 50s. And her hands were like claws. She couldn't cook. She couldn't sign her name. She's in church every Sunday. She's had prayer. She came to this event, this healing campaign. And she comes up for prayer. And the minister goes to pray for her. There's a check. He said, lady, have you forgiven everyone? Wait a minute. Now we're going to deal with the sin issue in the middle of a healing campaign? I thought the anointing on the preacher, the prayer of faith, was all. That's not what your Bible just got through saying. Is it? It said if there's a sin issue, that needs to be dealt with then and there. Does it say that in your Bible, James 5, 14 and 15? Is it in the book? Does God watch over his word to perform it? Is he going to allow me or some other anointed minister to bypass that issue? Amen. And bring the healing in spite of that? Or do we have to come and face to face with those issues? Can you say amen? Listen very carefully to me. Amen. She was like this, and he went to pray, and she said, I've forgiven everyone. I love everyone. He said, ma'am, I want you to stop, and I want you to think further back. She said, well, she quoted a date way back when her husband had left her for another woman. And it had eaten on her. It hurt her so deeply. She'd never forgiven him. She said, well, when my husband left me for this other woman, and left me, and she went into the whole litany of problems it created, hurts and heartaches and heartbreaks. He said, ma'am, do you want to be healed? She said, oh, yes. He said, you want to be right with God? Oh, yes. Forgive your husband right now. Right now! Thank God for somebody that is not implying that you can bypass all this that the Word says you can't. Because he would have prayed for her. She wouldn't have got healed. And guess what? God gets the heat again. He healed that person in front of her, that person in back of her, but not her. And she's a godly woman in church every Sunday. You don't know what's in the heart. God does. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You don't know that, but there's somebody who knows. Amen? Amen? Are you feeling, isn't it getting hot in here with best air we got? Can you say, would you close that door right there, honestly, for the heat part? Because I feel heat in here. I see beads of sweat. Are you trying to make me sweat? I know I'm trying to get you where God can bless you. I hope that's okay with you, that I want to see you blessed. I'm praying for you before I pray for my family. I want to see you blessed. I want to hear your testimony. I want to see you reflect the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you say, man, when you're down, I want to see God raise you up because he's a prayer-answering God. We got a covenant with him. Any sick, call the elders. Let them anoint them with oil. If he's afflicted, let him pray. Why? Why? If we're in a state of depression and oppression, are that person supposed to be able to pray about that? And if they can't pray about that, what's wrong between them and God that they can't pray and get an answer? That's what God wants them to face. What is wrong? My hand's not short that it cannot save. My ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. I'm going to tell you something about God. He don't get gray hair. He don't wear no back patch. He don't wear a hearing aid. Can you say amen? From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. He's the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Can you say amen? And he said, I'm available to you as my covenant children. That's got to make a difference. And Israel now is listening. He said, but your sin has separated between you and your God. You deal with that issue. And return to me, I'm going to return to you. And how again is he going to indicate that he's back? How will we know when he's back? Prayers get answered. My ear's not heavy that it can't hear. My arm's not short that it can't move to answer. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. How many's ever got a tape on faith and listened to it and you built your faith? And then you didn't get an answer. Guess who gets the heat again? God gets the heat. Well, I don't know why God don't. Would you get down before him and let him tell you? Are you willing? I'm willing. I can't afford to do without answers. And I can't agree with myself when I'm tempted to accuse him out of impatience. Or even worse, impertinence. Where I think that I'm holy enough to judge him. That's what Job thought. And you know what he told Job? Are you ready for God's answer when you don't understand? You're not trusting. You don't understand. You don't have his peace because you won't trust him. So you're pushing him, prodding him. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Everybody say, oops. He stepped over a line. He's your father, but he's not your old man. Can you say amen? He's your savior. He's your creator. He's passionately in love with you. But he will not let you accuse him and take him to task. He won't do that. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Job backed off, humbled down, hunkered down under his trial. Governor Jeb Bush, I love his hurricane speech. When a hurricane was bearing down on Florida, he said, you Floridians know what to do. Just hunker down. Hallelujah. We know how to hunker down, don't we? Do you know how to hunker down? Sometimes we need to hunker down in the middle of a trial and say, Lord, you're trying to show me something through this thing. I'm going to hunker down right here. Praise God. Amen. And while we're going through this trial, this might be a good opportunity to get down to the issues of my heart. Find out what's really inside here. If anything's crept in, I want to see it. Show it to me. I want it removed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to come out of this thing better, not bitter. Can you say, man, I want to come out with more faith and not doubt and fear. I want the peace of God to come right now upon me while I'm in the middle of it, knowing that God is in control. Hallelujah. No matter what it may look like. Wow. And if they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven them right there on the spot. And guess what happens? The prayer of faith save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. This lady with that crippling arthritis in her hands to the point, and some people got it right now in your hands, and if it's a sin problem, deal with it. But if it's an age problem, hunker down. Can you say, man? It's just aging. My dad's got it. My dad can still play that fiddle, brother. Amen. He's got swollen joints from arthritis. Is just deterioration of the bone, and that's because of age generally. But it had come on her early and crippled her up, and she just got real serious with God, and she said, Lord, I forgive my husband. I got to tell you how this works. Best illustration, I know you probably heard it many times before, was a woman who, listen, I don't care what your husband did to you. It wasn't nothing like those guards did in those concentration camps. Amen. Corrie ten Boom was in Ravensbrück concentration camp because of what the guards did, because of what the runners of the camp did in depriving them of the necessities of life. Amen. Her sister got dysentery and died. And the last thing she said to Corrie when she was dying at the hands of her captors was, Corrie, don't hate. Don't hate. Don't hate. Amen. And Corrie had preached love and forgiveness and how God had brought her through Ravensbrück and sustained her and all the miracles he did. And she said she was preaching overseas, teaching, testifying more than anything. And a line was there, and she saw a man in the back of the line and recognized as one of the guards from Ravensbrück concentration camp. And when she saw him, all of that terror, horror, came back. All that hurt and pain and hate came up inside of her. She said when it did, she said she knew the Word of God came right up within her. The Word of God came up with it. You know what the Word of God said? Love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. She said, Lord, you told me I have to love this man. Lord, I do not love this man. That's honesty. Can you say amen? I do not love this man. But Lord, you told me I must love this man. She's praying under her breath while she's shaking hands and signing books. She said, so Lord Jesus, I want to be obedient to you. So Lord, love this man through me. See, what we can't do, God's Spirit can do. This is a can-do God. Can you say amen? She said as he got closer, she didn't know what would happen when they were face to face. But because she had prayed that prayer to be obedient to God, the moment that he stood before her, she said her heart melted and she felt the love of God flow out to him. And he looked her in the eye and he said, Corey, I don't know if you can ever forgive me, but I have given my heart to Jesus Christ. I've asked him to forgive me for all of my sins. And I'm asking you, Corey, will you forgive me? And she hugged him as a brother in Christ and loved him as a brother in Christ. Hallelujah. And guess what it did? It kept the door open for her prayers to be answered. And God used that little woman mightily through the rest of her life. Hallelujah. So when this woman prayed, listen, when you decide to do this, don't wait for a warm feeling. Just say, I forgive. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive. The feelings come later. You just let God know you're going to be obedient. She said, I forgive my husband. I forgive him. Right now, Lord, I forgive him. That's in the past. It's gone. She felt a desire to be thankful and praise God. She lifted her hands. And the evangelist said, I heard a popping, cracking sound in the bones and joints. And said those hands popped open in praise to God. Hallelujah. 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 The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. And if there's a sin issue hindering it, God wants to forgive it right there so that miracle can occur, so that answer can come, so that person that he loves can have the help that they need, and so his great name can be magnified and glorified. Can you say amen? A truck, a semi-tractor trailer falls across the man and almost cuts him in half. And God not only lets him live, but restores his life. And he's working as a diesel mechanic today and raising his family with 9 foot of extra intestines that are doing double duty. Having to watch his weight. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah! If God can and does those kind of things in our generation, we ain't seen nothing yet. Can you say amen? I'm praying for repentance to come in hearts. I'm praying for people to get down by their bed. Amen. At home, they don't have to do it here. God don't care where it is as long as it occurs. But when it occurs, he said, a change is coming. A change is coming. Israel, you come back, a change is coming. I want you to start calling on me now. Can you say amen and see what happens now? It's going to be different from here on out. Can you say amen? I brought you back out of Babylon and I'm ready to restore the blessing of my presence. Get that ark back where it belongs. Get the people into repentance for their compromises. Amen. And he said, make your prayer toward this place and see what happens. Amen. If you're in a drought, rain is going to come. And it's not going to be a gully washer that washes away the topsoil. It's going to be one of those drenching, saturating rains that gives you a double bumper crop. An enemy comes. I'm going to make your prayer toward this place. Prayer, answered prayer, is a sign of restoration. Can you say amen? Make your prayer toward this place. If an enemy threatens you, and I will send an angel, or I will send angels. Hallelujah. Woo!
I'll deliver you.
Order your conversation aright, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord again. You'll see His deliverance again. You'll see Him come through again. You'll see His answer prayer again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's where I'm coming from. So I go to pray, and God says no, but then God tells me why. And then when there's repentance, the door is open for the blessing, and the blessing comes. And the blessing comes. And the blessing comes. And the blessing comes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid of being real with God. He honors that. He blesses that. And it's coming from the heart. Don't be afraid of altar services. They're good for us. Nobody's above it. Can you say amen? Are you hearing something from the Word tonight that is challenging you to get deeper into it so that we can see God move like He used to move? Hallelujah. How will we know He's back? Call upon Me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You've never, the Bible said, eyes not seen, ear has not heard. God is so wonderfully, powerfully, abundantly gracious and powerful. Amen. It's never entered the heart of man. You cannot imagine what God wants to do to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose faith is perfect. No, whose hearts are perfect. Is it a matter of faith or a matter of the heart first? It's the heart first. It's the heart. The eyes of the Lord, say it with me, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro, to and fro. You think that's happening right now? The eyes of the Lord. And what's He looking for? Somebody that He can move in behalf of so they can get the help as His covenant child and His name can be magnified through the answer. Hallelujah. I want to be a big old blip on His radar. How about you? Every time His radar sweeps over me, I want it to show up. There's somebody. Amen, that's going to bow before You. There's somebody that's deep into repentance. There's somebody that wants to clear every barrier to Your blessing. There's somebody that needs Your help, Lord. Praise God. He said, call upon Me. Come on, Israel, put Me to the test here. I'm ready to move. Start calling on Me again, and I'll show you things you've never seen before. Wow, that's my message. That's where we're going on Sunday night. We're going to get the barriers out of the way for our own life. And we're going to pray that a repentance occur in other lives that need blessing. We can't just ask for God to take care of it. Because that would be in essence to say, Lord, bless this mess. God don't bless a mess. He gives us clear instructions. Amen. But He says if we will give heed to them, these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. Whether you're in the city or in the field, they're going to find you. And they're going to find Me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, how many people came here again to lift Him up tonight? Praise God. Are you glad you came? Are you getting ready to pray? Why don't you stand right where you are? We're not going to come here tonight. We're just going to stand up. Praise God. Now, I'm going to ask a question. And I'm not going to ask for show of hands. I'm going to ask for hearts to be opened. Are you ready for a miracle? You know, there was an old movie out. I hate the movie. I love the song. Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for the supernatural? Are you ready for your God to answer your prayer supernaturally, so that you're going to see Him move in your families, in your personal life, in your body, in our finances? Are you ready for a miracle? I'm going to ask you again tonight, how many need an axe head to swim because it's borrowed? When axe head swims, what happened at the cross for you and me, when that prophet threw that wood into that water, as soon as that wood hit the water, and as a type of the cross where Jesus would pay the ultimate price to get us in a position where God can come through supernaturally, forgive our sin, and then what? Answer our prayers. Can you say, man, the supernatural occurred, didn't it? Didn't it occur? Amen. The axe head came swimming to the top, and the guy just like scooping up a half dead fish, amen, reached down and took the axe head up and put it back where it belonged. Can you imagine reaching down and feeling that iron, praise God, amen, treading water, becoming flexible? You say, Brother Bimbo, that's supernatural. Dun, 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 dun. Hallelujah. Dun, 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 dun. Ought to be our theme song. Can you say amen? Praise God. We don't live in no twilight zone, but we live in a spiritual realm where God rules as the absolute authority. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to see the supernatural again. Woo! Hallelujah. And joy is going to be in the camp. And the sound of joy is coming. Everybody that believes that it would be a healthy thing to open our heart like David did and said, search me, O Lord, and see if there's something in here. Search me, O Lord. Amen. Everybody that will allow God to do that, raise your hand real quick. I'm not looking. Just raise it. Take it back down in a hurry. Praise God. I was the first one to go up because I knew what I was going to say. Hallelujah. So I beat you. I know it's hard to beat you when it comes to repentance, but I did tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Are you ready for a miracle? Hallelujah. Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle? Can you say amen? Are you ready for a miracle tonight? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for a miracle? We need to answer in the affirmative tonight. Because God's ready to work them. This is a church embracing repentance tonight. Lord, I know you see the heart. I know what you're ready to do tonight. I know what's going to happen as a result of the prayers being offered to you tonight. Father, and we pray for others that we've been praying for. Oh God, if there's something in the way in the heart that they get down tonight before you, they get real before you, they get right before you, so intercession can have such a powerful effect. We're not the only one praying tonight. Jesus is standing up. Jesus is interceding for his children. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with his faith. It has to be something else tonight. Shalabakosanda da barianda da bokosa, etada baroshi lianda da bokula, nanda da baroshala barianda, mukala bahasitia, leda basitia. Hallelujah! One day the nations looked up at a restored Israel, a restored covenant people, and they said, "Who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in everything that they call upon him for." That means a God that answers when they pray. Can you say amen? Do you get it tonight? Do you hear it tonight? Hallelujah. They said, we can't fight them in the wind. There's a shout of a king among them. When God's covenant people lost battles, there was sin in the camp. Deal with it. The victory is restored. Halabasia, Shalabarota, Salabakitana, Nendadabokusa. Tonight, we're being washed with water by the word that we might become a holy people unto him. And the Bible said when he brought them back, he restored their fortunes. He restored their fortunes. That doesn't mean they became multimillionaires. It meant if that little farm, that little house with the picket fence, with that little daughter and that son that were so sweet and devoted to God like the mom and the daddy was, amen, when they got back home, they said, I'm going to restore that to you. Praise God. Whatever the devil took, whatever sin allowed him to defraud you from, I'm in the business of restoration. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. and I'll restore unto you the years that the caterpillar cankerworm. It's all this evolution of the grasshopper, but there's all kinds of destruction that takes place in every phase of that evolution until they swarmed. And Bohosana, they laid eggs and left them behind, and the larva come out and begin to eat the new growth that was coming up. Oh, he said, I'm going to not only kill the grasshoppers, I'm going to kill the larva too. Shanamashilia. Amen. Oh, Baba. You know what it's called in the book of Malachi? When I'm honored again, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have devoured from you. I'm going to send you the former and the latter rain. Hallelujah. I have a name in Israel. And thou shalt not be called divorced anymore. Your land shall be called Beulah. Because it looked like for a season God had left you and forsaken you. But I really didn't. You left me. But now you're back and you shall be called Beulah. Everybody say Beulah. Beulah. Your land shall be called Beulah. Beulah means married. It's not about heaven. People have a song, Beulah Land, oh Beulah Land, talking about heaven. This is not about heaven. This is about here and now under God's covenant blessing. Amen. God wants to make your land Beulah Land again. You have a covenant with God. He's your provider, your protector. Oh, I'm looking for mighty things. How about you? Hallelujah. 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 Are you glad to be in a church where you're challenged tonight? Praise God, where we're not glossing it over. The devil's going to have to back off because he's under God's rebuke right now. Back off of our children. Back off of our bodies. Back off of our finances. Back off. Hallelujah. Somebody give him glory in this room. Did I hand you? I didn't. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's seal this with praise. Let's seal it with praise. Let's seal it with praise tonight. God wants to hear genuine praise from the hearts of his people. Lifting up holy hands. Without wrath and without doubting, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to praise him till the walls fall down. Amen and amen. How many believe we ought to praise him and seal this tonight? Hallelujah. I feel like Satan is on the run. That don't mean there's not going to be issues, but it means that we know the day we pray, our enemy turns back. Why? Because this one thing I know, David said, I know this, God is for me. And that's why I know when I pray, the enemy can't stand that ground anymore. My battle's won in the heavenlies, and it's going to show up right here on the earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Prayer takes the battle to the spiritual forces that are manipulating everything down in the physical world. And we win that battle in that arena. And the changes begin to occur down here on the human physical level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise tonight. How many came to lift him up? Ultimately, you want his name to be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.